Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mighty Men of Valor with your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, a Living Save Ministries production. We invite you to listen as Reverend Cleveland Howell III teaches young men using sound biblical doctrine and personal life experience how to live a better life in this world. And now, without any further delay, here is your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III. This is Mighty Men of Valor with your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, a Living Save Ministries production. We invite you to listen as Reverend Cleveland Howell III teaches young men using sound biblical doctrine and personal life experience how to live a better life in this world. And now, without any further delay, here is your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Mighty Man of Valor show today. I'm your host for the show, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, and we thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Amen. We had a few technical difficulties tonight, but we just want to tell the Lord thank you. Amen. We thank the Lord for watching over us and for providing traveler mercies for each and every one of us. We want to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Amen. Where would we be without the grace, without the mercy, without the love of God in each and every one of our lives? So we must start the show off like we always do with a portion of prayer. Amen. Just to lift up the name of Jesus, amen, before his word goes forth. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, oh God, for another day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come boldly before your throne of grace. Lord, we need you. And Father, we know that we are nothing without you, oh God. What can we do? Where can we go without you, Lord? And there is no answer, oh God. So we just take this time, oh God, to lift your name up on high. Lord, we glorify you. We exalt you, Lord. As the psalmist says, the praises for you shall always continually be in my mouth. Lord, we can never stop. We can never give up, oh God, from the rising of the sun and to the going down the same. Your name is worthy to be praised, God. Now, Lord, we pray for this world, God. We pray for the government. We pray for every church, for every pastor, for every leader. Father, we pray for those who have gone astray, Lord, those who think that they can make it without you, oh God. You said in your word, for without me ye can do nothing, Lord. So we pray right now for our unsaved loved ones, Lord. All of those under the sound of my voice, we have someone, we know someone who don't know you as their personal Savior. Not just hearing about you, not just hearing someone speak about you, but knowing you personally, oh God. So we pray right now, Lord, that your word will go forth, that it won't return unto thee void, oh God. We ask for liberty tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, touch hearts and touch minds. Lord, move, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that there's nothing too hard for you, oh God. There's nothing impossible with you, oh God. So we just say thank you tonight, Lord. Search our hearts. Search our minds, oh God. If there's anything in us, Lord, that is not of thee, Father, remove it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. And we just ask right now, Lord, that you would touch every heart, every mind, wherever people may be, Lord, who are sitting in darkness, wherever they may be, who are sitting in distress, wherever they may be, Lord, without that acknowledging you as their personal Savior. We pray right now, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and you would sensitize their minds, oh God, and that you would sensitize their souls in the name of Jesus. There's no other name, Lord, which we could call on but your name. But God, we say thank you tonight. We love you, Lord. We adore you, Lord, for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing. We lift your name on high. Now, Lord, whatever takes place tonight, Father God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We want to welcome you once again to the Mighty Man of Valor Show as we continue to celebrate, amen, 5 years of the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where would we be? Where would we be? What could we do without him? Well, I want to let somebody know absolutely nothing. Amen. Well, we have a guest speaker tonight. I haven't heard from them since earlier, but we're just looking for the Lord to bless tonight in a special way. And we just thank God for this opportunity tonight. We thank God for 5 years. God has been faithful to us. And as I had come home this afternoon, and I was reading this book on being faithful and how we're supposed to be faithful to God, how we're supposed to honor God, how we're supposed to love God. Amen. And God has shown his faithfulness to each and every one of us. So that lets us know what? That we have a responsibility, amen, to be faithful unto God. Well, as we see, our guest speaker has arrived tonight, praise the Lord. We're just going to read a scripture tonight, and we're going to turn the service over to our guest speaker tonight. Amen. Amen. And as we were speaking on being faithful, let's go real quickly to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. And the Bible says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Do you want that crown of life tonight? Do you want it? Amen. You may have to go through some things, but as we just read, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen. Well, we want to welcome our guest speaker to the Mighty Man of Valor Show. Praise the Lord. We welcome you once again, Reverend Johnson, to the Mighty Man of Valor Show. We thank you for being with
praise
us
the Lord
twice this month. Amen. And,
yeah,
and we thank the Lord for you being able to share with us on this 5th year anniversary. And we want to tell the Lord thank you for you, for your faithfulness, for you taking the time out to be with us with your very busy schedule. Amen. So we thank you for that. Amen. So we're going to turn the show into your hands tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to share with you tonight on this wonderful program, The Mighty Men of Valor. We thank God for the ministry that he has given you and for your faithfulness to these 5 years. So we thank God for that. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for just being God. We thank you that you are God, and above you there is no other. We thank you that we could depend on you. We bless your name tonight, and we ask, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would take over and that the words that we speak, Lord, will not be ours, Lord, but it will be a message that you would have for your people, your listeners tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Thank you, Lord. We'll continue from the subject that we spoke on a week before last about love. February is that month that we talk about love. I was a little bit In between, we also celebrate Black History, and I was just researching some of the Black presence in the Bible. A lot of people have been very negative and said it's a white people's Bible and all of that, but when you look all through the Word, you will find, if you just take some time to do some research, there are many, many instances where that people of color are mentioned in the Bible. So I thought about that, but the Lord continued to deal with me about this subject of love. And so this week I wanted to go into 1 Corinthians 13. This is called the love chapter. And
yes.
I was studying, I usually don't give too many little jokes or funny things, but this seemed to be so funny. We're familiar with a Peanuts cartoon, and it was showing Lucy standing with her arms folded and a stern expression on her face, and Charlie Brown pleads, "Lucy, you must be more loving. This world really needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place." So Lucy angrily whirls around and knocks Charlie Brown to the ground, and she screams at him, and she says, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, it's people I can't stand." So we love the world, but it's a big challenge for us to really learn how to love people. And sometimes you may even feel now that there are some people in your life that's very hard to love. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. And this is one of the most beautiful and familiar chapters in the Bible. And you know, it's typically read at weddings and anniversary celebrations. And I think it's even been set to music. But when we look at Paul's original intent, the writer of this book is Paul. And he was actually writing to rebuke this dysfunctional church in Corinth. Now, a lot of people have looked at this love chapter in a different light, but if you will look, he talks about the gifts in chapter 12. If you look previously at chapter 12, he talks about all the gifts that were operating in the church at Corinth, but they were lacking something. They were not using these gifts to edify, and that's why God gives the gifts. They're given by the Holy Spirit. And they were not using them in the proper way because they had all these gifts, but they were lacking love. And so Paul urges us to look a little deeper into this subject of love. And he says that love is an action word, not emotion. And, you know, in this culture that we live, we talk about love, and most of the time they really don't mean love. It's really a lust, but we think of love as an emotion. But Paul says that love is an action. The kind of love that Paul will talk about is seen, experienced, and demonstrated. See, it's more than just a feeling. When you have the true love, the agape love, the love of God, you'll be able to be seen. You can experience it, and it is demonstrated. Of course, this is contrary to our culture that honors personal feelings almost about everything. It's we do what we want when we want it. If we feel like it, if we don't feel like it, we just don't do it. But it says, "I am struck by the complete absence of any stress or personal feelings" that Paul gives in this passage. Hence, if love is an action, not an emotion, we need to study what God has to say about love. The world has its idea of what love is, but we need to see what God says about love. In these 13 verses, Paul provides three distinctions of love. And the first one is that love is greater than any spiritual gift. Paul is addressing the church at Corinth because they have all these gifts. And it says, I'll read 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses. Says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clean cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul mentions tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, giving, and even martyrdom. He said, if I give my body to be burned. These are all very virtuous things. Mm-hmm. The first four gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. The gift of giving is among those mentioned in Romans 12:8. And martyrdom does not occur anywhere else as a spiritual gift, but it's talked about here. It is in association with the other five gifts. We can add it to the spiritual gifts that God gives to his church. Paul kicks off 13:1 with the gifts of tongues when he writes, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Some Bible students seem to have missed Paul's point here and have interpreted him as speaking merely of eloquence in human speech. But clearly, you can see here that he's not talking about just eloquence in speech. He's talking about the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. After all, the last gifts mentioned in chapter 12 are tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And those same gifts are the main topic of chapter 14. So it's logical, then, that Paul begins this intervening chapter by discussing tongues. The use of tongues that Paul is speaking of here is the gift of speaking a private prayer language. So I want us to understand that. Paul says that you can speak in tongues all you want, but if you don't have love, you're merely making a lot of noise. Now, I think that's very important for us to get this as we talk about love, because some people have the gift of tongues or gift of interpretation, and it seems like that they feel like that is makes them better. But these are all gifts that God has given, the Holy Spirit has given. It says, if I have a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Amen. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Prophecy refers to the ability to declare God's truth in a powerful, life-changing way. And knowledge involves the deep understanding of the Word of God. Faith is the unique ability to trust God for great things. These three gifts are all from the Holy Spirit, and yet without love, the person who has them is nothing. So we need to understand that though we have all of these spiritual gifts, we have to operate them in love.
Amen.
Verse 3 possesses a problem because it asks us to ponder activities that we automatically consider noble. Giving to the poor is a good thing to do, isn't it? And dying for your faith in Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. Oh, we would think if somebody would just die for Christ, that's the ultimate sacrifice. But as good as these things are, without love, they do you no good.
Amen.
My Lord. Paul declares that the greatest expression of spirituality is love. We could summarize these three verses like this. Without love, I say nothing, I am nothing, and I gain nothing.
Hmm.
I want us to think about what we're saying here tonight, because we look at people today with so many gifts and talents, and they're doing so much. There's some people that are just so busy in the church and so busy around, but there's something lacking. And Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians that what all they're doing, they're still lacking love. Clearly, we must have love when we are exercising our spiritual gifts. So stop for a moment and reflect on your spiritual gifts and your ministry in the local church. Do you do what you do out of genuine love for people? Or do you serve out of a sense of obligation? Do you serve because of the satisfaction you derive from ministry? Do you minister because you like honing your skills? Although no one has perfectly pure motives, we ought to be seeking to grow in our love quotient. Paul says that love is an action, not an emotion. Therefore, we need to put feet to our love. Love is an action. Oh, my God. After talking about the importance of love, Paul now will discuss how love behaves. And this is the part that really did minister to me. as I studied chapter 13, because it talks about how love behaves. And love is expressed by supernatural responses, because what it says that love does is not the carnal way of thinking. Love is a word that can only be properly defined in terms of action, attitude, and behavior. That's what love is. Love can be expressed in action, attitude, and behavior. Paul has no room for abstract theoretical definitions. Instead, he wants us to know what love looks like when we see it. Do we know real love when we see it? Thus, he paints 15 separate portraits of love. Yes, that's right. In the space of four short verses, Paul uses 15 verbs, all of which have love as their subject. Isn't that something? 15 verbs. Our contemporary definition of love is that it is an emotion or a feeling. We love our jobs. We love our football. We love pizza. We love a lot of things. In the biblical definition of agape, love acts. For love is an action, not an emotion. This is so important for us to get, because today we go so much on our feelings, but love doesn't go by feelings. Verse 4 begins by summarizing the unselfish nature of love. Now we're going to go into the attributes of love, what love is. Paul says love is patient.
Amen.
In this world that everybody wants everything right now, I mean, when we stand in the grocery line at the grocery store, people are just so impatient. Some people just seem like they almost want to curse you out if you got too many items in front of you, and we're just so impatient. We go to the fast food restaurant and we want our food right now. If it takes more than 3 minutes, then we're angry with the workers. But patience, the Greek language has several words for patience. One signifies patience with circumstances, while another is used only in reference to patience with people. And in this day and time, we don't have patience with circumstances nor people.
All right.
The Lord knows we need both kinds of patience, but it is this second word that is found here. The King James renders this word long-suffering.
Yes.
That's not anything we want to talk about too much today. We want everything right now, and we don't have patience with anybody. I like this. Paul seems to be saying that love doesn't have a short fuse. Have you ever been around people that you it doesn't take them but a minute, and they get you told? It doesn't lose its temper easy. I've been around people that it doesn't take them but just a hot minute, and they're mad. A person who exercises agape love does not lose patience with people. Love never says, "I'll give you just one more chance." Have you heard that before? If somebody told you that, "Well, I'll just give you one more chance." Love is patient. The longer I work in ministry, the easier it is for me to be patient with people, because I recognize more fully that I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I make mistakes and I have to go to God and ask for forgiveness, and so I have to humbly go to Him with my own shortcomings. So I find it easier to have patience with others. I remember many years ago standing in my living room, and I seem to have been so disgruntled with some of the people at church and some of the people that I was dealing with, and I just could find all their faults, and I could just go down the list and tell you all the things that was wrong with them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly, and He said, "If you could see yourself as I see you, and if you would deal with other people the way you want me to deal with you, then the world wouldn't be such a bad place." So oftentimes we want God to be considerate of us and our shortcomings, and so, "God, you understand." But when it comes for us to be patient with other people, we don't have much patience for other people. But that changed my attitude about life. It changed my attitude about people. I said, "Lord, I know that you are patient with me. I thank you for being patient. I thank you for allowing me to grow." And it made me feel like that now I need to be more patient with other people.
Yes.
As we mature, we need to be more patient as we deal with other people. God wants us to grow in patience for those whom we minister to and with. Okay, it said love is patient, but then it says love is kind.
Yes.
Have you ever met a person that you just said, that person is so kind? Patience is to be accompanied by a positive reaction of goodness toward the other person. Some people are just not kind. They're not considerate. Yes. They're not kind. But kindness is not to be equated with giving someone just everything he wants. Or sometimes love has to be tough. Sometimes Amen. We have to force an addict to go through hell with withdrawal. Sometimes we have to say no to a spoiled child. Sometimes Amen. Kindness may mean reporting a crime committed by a friend. Kindness means to withhold what harms as well as give what heals. Love is kind, but often
yes.
tough. Paul follows the two positive expressions of love with eight verbs that indicate how love does not behave. See, he said love is patient and love is kind. Then he goes to say love is not jealous. Have you ever met a jealous person?
Oh, yes.
Jealousy is something. Jealousy implies being displeased with success of others. Have you ever seen somebody that just didn't want anybody to do anything that they couldn't do, or that they're never happy about anybody being successful? True love desires the success of others. You know, and as I looked through these things, I may not have been guilty of all of them, but all of us need some help in one of these areas or other. And some people are just jealous-hearted. The best way to curb envy is to pray sincerely for the one of whom you are jealous. If you have problems with jealousy, pray for the person that you're jealous of. To pray for him or her is to demonstrate love, and jealousy and love cannot exist in the same heart. If you're jealous-hearted, you can't love. And God commands us to love. God is love.
That's
he
right.
commands us to love. So if you are a person that's jealous, even in our relationships, we have to let people be free. We can't be jealous. So love is not jealous. Love does not brag. I've been around people that just they just brag about what they have. Brag about their job, brag about how much money they make, brag about what kind of car they drive. They brag about what they possess. But the root word for brag in Greek is very picturesque and is closest to our English word windbag. Love is not an egotistical blowhard. Love is not big-headed and big-hearted. This means the more loving you become, the less boasting you need to do. We
Amen.
Don't need to boast about how God has blessed us. The greater your spiritual gifts, the less prone you should be to brag. After all, the gifts you have been graciously given are from God. We have to remember that everything that we have comes from God. Whatever
Amen.
Gifts we have, whatever good, it's that every good and perfect good gift comes from God.
Yeah.
When you and I brag, we're demonstrating our insecurity and spiritual immaturity. Immature people go around and brag. You can tell how mature a person is by what they say. Paul states that bragging is the converse of biblical love. Hence, we should pursue Christ so that we will be humble before him. Humility is not a thing that's talked about too much today. Everybody wants to be on top of everything. They don't want to be humble. But humility is one of the things that we should pursue, because Jesus Christ was humble. Okay,
Amen.
He said love is not jealous, love doesn't brag, and love is not arrogant.
That's
the
right.
term arrogant refers to grasping for power. There's some people that just want to be in control.
Yes.
It's a little more serious than bragging, because which is grasping for praise. People want you to just praise them and set them up on a pedestal. Arrogant people push themselves into leadership. Have you ever seen anybody that just want to push themselves up to be a leader?
And they'll
step on anybody to do it. They'll do anything they can. They'll pull all kinds of strings just so that they can be in leadership. Arrogance disrespects others and carries a disdain for others. God calls us to serve others and be gracious toward them. People who are arrogant are not gracious.
Amen. That's
so
right.
Love is not arrogant. The next verse says, love does not act unbecomingly.
Mm.
Does not act unbecomingly.
That's right.
Listeners, these are attributes, these are virtues that we all have to pray and ask God to help us with. This word is best translated rude. Some people are just rude.
Mm-hmm.
There are some Christians who seem to take delight in being blunt. You know, some people say, well, that's just me. I just tell it like it is, and I just don't put on any fronts. They say, I'm just telling it like it is. I just that's just the way I am. But love doesn't always tell it like it is. Do you know that you exercise maturity when you don't always have to speak? But even the Bible says that it's not, sometimes it's best not to speak anything. Don't even speak the truth. Just don't say anything.
Mm.
And love doesn't always verbalize all its thoughts, particularly if those thoughts doesn't build others up. You know, I've had to check myself. Sometimes I would hear something about someone, maybe somebody in the church or even maybe out of the church, and I would be tempted to repeat it to someone. And the Holy Spirit would stop me and say, is that going to build that person up? And especially, you know, the enemy always is attacking the ministers and the people of God, and always this negative things always coming up. And so sometimes it's best that we don't repeat what we hear.
Amen.
Because sometimes it's not true anyway, but even if it is true, Is that gonna build that person up, or is that gonna cause somebody to lose faith in their leader, or the person that you're talking about? So sometimes we need to just stop and think what we're saying, and know that love will build up a person. Love doesn't tear down, and I just believe that most of us could work on that. That we don't act unbecomingly. We don't tear people down, but we build them up. And the next thing, love does not seek its own.
Yes.
Love is the very antithesis of insisting upon one's own right. None.
Amen.
Needless to say, there is a rare quality today. This is a rare quality today. Our society. Yes. It's self-seeking and is not only tolerated, it is even advocated to get it for yourself. You can go to any bookstore and pick up titles like Winning Through Intimidation, Looking Out for Number One, or Creative Aggression. But a self-aborted person cannot act in love. Love is
Amen.
Not possessive. It's not demanding. Do you hear this? It says love is not possessive. Love is not demanding.
Amen.
Some people just demand to have things their own way. But love is not demanding. It's not stubborn or dominating. Some people have to rule, they've got to run it, or they won't be a part of it.
Wow.
Said love does not talk too much, but listens as well. Listening is an art. And it's I love to talk, and over the years, I'm learning how to listen more. Love does not insist on its own way. It's always willing to defer to others. That is not the way of the world today. It's all about me and what I want, when I want it, how I feel. It's not looking at how you can help somebody else. So love does not seek its own, but love is not provoked.
Yes.
Love is not given to emotional outbursts. I knew a brother in the church in one of the places in the United States that I worshiped, and boy, you had to handle him with kid gloves. You say anything to him, he'd burst out in anger. And just you could just see his eyes change and his tone of voice would get loud. He was just so easily provoked. But you say when someone else provokes me, it's not my fault, And but it is, because we don't have to get irritated. You know, we can decide that you're not going to make me angry.
Amen.
We can decide.
Right.
We can decide whatever you say is okay, because I'm not going to retaliate. We don't have to get irritated, and if we were to exercise love, we wouldn't. One
Amen.
English version translates this virtue: love is not touchy. I'm sure that you know some people that you got to be careful what you say, how you say it,
yes.
Even if you say anything. Sometimes you just don't say anything.
Amen.
And then after you're as careful as you can be, what if you do say something, they'll take it and twist it around and still make it something that you didn't intend.
Well,
but this kind of person doesn't know anything of agape love, for love is not touchy.
Amen.
And I'm sure that all of us know some people like that. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. I remember one time the Lord really brought this to me, because I was accounting for someone. I said, they did this to me and they did that. And I remember when they hurt me and they said this about me. And the Bible, I was reading the Bible, I was reading this. And it said, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you don't love that person if all you can do is remember all the wrongs that they've done to you.
Mm.
Paul uses the normal word here for bookkeeping. Love does not keep a ledger of evil deeds. It doesn't write down each injury done and keep the account open to be settled someday. I know some people who are accomplished bookkeepers in regard to injuries sustained. Love doesn't hang on to reminders of wrong.
Yes.
Who are we to keep a record of what somebody has done to us if we love? Are there some ledgers you need to go home and burn and toss in the fireplace? Are there some people that you have kept a record of the wrong that they've done? Maybe it's time to let it go. Just let it go and begin to pray for them. And because love, the scripture says, love does not keep a record of wrong.
Amen.
Then it says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. One of the reasons I don't like to watch the news all the time, I did like to watch the news, and then after a while, all I hear is bad things, misfortunes, and misdeeds. There's something in our human nature which causes our attention to be drawn to murder trials, FBI probes, natural disasters, and human tragedies. Love is not like that. Love takes no joy in evil of any kind. It takes no malicious pleasure when it hears about the inadequacies, mistakes, and sins of someone else. Love is righteous. Now, after 8 sobering negatives, comes 5 glorious positives. Let's just review those negatives. Love is not jealous. Love doesn't brag. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked easily. Love does not take into account wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Some people are, you know, they really get a kick out of when somebody messes up. But that's not love. But it says love rejoices with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man named Joseph Fletcher who set up a system called situational ethics. And I'm sure that some of you and listeners have been in school and studied situational ethics. And Fletcher teaches that that any action, whether lying, adultery, or even murder, can be moral if done in love. However, I would agree that if an action does not conform to the truth of God's word, it can't be done in love. So let's don't get fooled here. It says love rejoices with the truth. We've got to remember that the word of God has got to be our basis. We can't base what we feel on what the world says. Truth and love go together like a hand in glove. You have to remember that you've got to base whatever you believe and rejoice in what the truth says. Truth must make our love discriminating, and love must make our truth compassionate and forgiving. If our actions are in accord with agape love, we will always welcome biblical truth, never resist it. Then it says love bears all things. The phrase bears all things comes from a Greek word meaning to cover something. It is related to the word for a roof, a covering that offers protection from the hostile elements.
Yes.
1 Peter 4:8 says that love covers a multitude of sins. Don't you know when you really love somebody, you don't want to expose them. You know, we don't go and tell all the bad things about the people that we love. We try to build them up.
Amen.
Love protects other people. It doesn't broadcast bad news. It goes the second mile to protect another person's reputation. You know, you can always tell if a person really loves you because if somebody says something negative about you, they'll say, oh, they didn't mean it like that. They'll try to smooth it over and lift you up. They won't jump on the bandwagon to tear you down.
My.
There are two very relevant applications. First, love doesn't nitpick. It doesn't point out every flaw of the ones you love. Don't you know that when you really love somebody, you see the good? Yes, we're not ignorant of the fact that they're not perfect. But you don't concentrate on those things that they're not perfect in. Second, love doesn't criticize in public. This is perhaps Paul's primary meaning. Love doesn't do its dirty laundry for the entire world to see. This is why that, you know, have you ever been out and you heard a husband just humiliating his wife in public or a wife making some remarks that wasn't nice about her husband? You know, when I hear that, I do that. That's a pretty good idea. Just be quiet. Don't jump on the bandwagon. Don't join in on the criticism. And then it says, love believes all things. Love is always in your circumstances to give the person the benefit of the doubt. These are not things that do just naturally.
Yes.
Many of us have developed a certain distrust for experiences. We have heard stories about how a person who stood up or bossed in distress was bothered with them more to money to come without a legal document guaranteeing repayment, even if they're not Christian. We should remember that even in a court of law, accused person is always.
Yes.
Clearly tells us that love believes all things. Then it says love hopes all things. The third phrase in chapter 13, verse 7 tells us that love hopes all things. This is simply a step toward believing. The meaning is something like this. There are times in life when you face situations so difficult that faith is not possible. You would gladly give the benefit of a doubt, but there is none to give. You search for the silver lining, but the angry clouds overhead have no silver lining. Love has a positive forward look. Paul is not here advocating an unreasoning optimism which fails to take account of reality, nor is he just teaching the power of positive thinking, but he is suggesting that love refuses to take failure as final, either in oneself or in anyone else. I know about, even with our children, I just refuse to say I just give up on my children. We can't just give up. We've got to believe. And the reason the believer can take such an attitude is that God is in the business of taking human failure and producing spiritual giants out of them. And he can do it with you or your child or that impossible co-worker. Always hoping doesn't mean that we sit back and just watch God do his thing. Rather, it means that we get actively involved in the process as he molds the future according to his perfect plan. Love hopes and expects the best. Do we have a positive attitude? Do we hope for the best? Love never loses faith in other people and gives up on them, but remains faithful to them in spite of their shortcomings. And then lastly, love endures all things. The word endures is a military term that means to hold a position at all costs, even until death, whatever it takes. The battle may be lost, but the soldier keeps on fighting to the very end. The word pictures an army surrounded by superior forces, being attacked and slowly overwhelmed on every side. One by one, your comrades fall at your side. Through the noise of battle comes one final command, stand your ground, men, and if necessary, die well. So love holds fast to people it loves. It preserves. It never gives up on anyone. Love won't stop loving, even in the face of rejection. Love takes action to shake up an intolerable situation. Love looks beyond the present to the hope of what might be in the future. We see all of these attributes of love. And so we have to understand, as it ends, this chapter ends, it says, Paul concludes, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Today, how will you grow in your love for others? Will this lesson, this is a teaching, a lesson for us to just take the word verse by verse and look at what love, what God's love, the agape love really is. Love, this love is a giving love. It's not one that's seeking, self-seeking. But this is the love that goes beyond the human idea of emotion. And we have to know that the only way that we can have this kind of love is through the help of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, as we look at our relationship to others, we must understand that we must ask the Holy Spirit to give us the love, the agape love for one another. Because there's a song that says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing. There's too little love. And
that's
this
right.
True love, there's so little true love. The world talks about love, love, love. Everywhere you look, people are talking about love. But you don't see it in action. And as we started this study tonight, we said love is not an emotion, but love is truly an action. And so tonight, I pray that we will begin to ask ourselves, what can we do to show love to those that are around us? Show love in our homes. To ask ourselves, what can I do to make the person that in my home feel loved? You can be in a house full of people and still feel unloved. They can be your own people, but what can you do to show your love? Love is an action word. Love is not just a feeling, but it's something that we do. So tonight, as we conclude this study, let's just remember that it's they didn't read the part of the scripture that says that all these gifts will cease, prophecy and tongues and interpretation and all these gifts, they're going to cease one day. But love will never fail. Love remains. Love will be in eternity. Love will transcend this world into the next. So if whatever we're doing, whatever relationships we have, let's ask God to help us to show our love to those who are around us. So God bless you tonight. I hope that we are challenged to love with action and not just words. There are a lot of people who say, I love you, but you can't feel it. They don't do anything to show you that they love you. And they say talk is cheap. So I pray tonight that as we listen to this, to look at this word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that you go back and read it again and ask the Holy Spirit. Because there's many scriptures that, and I looked up in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. And Colossians 3:12 through 14 says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And then there's a couple of more here. It says, 1 Peter 3:8-9, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil and insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit the blessing.
Yes. My. What will we be able to do without it? That's the question we want to leave you tonight. What will we be able to do without love? Amen. You heard the preacher tonight. Love is not an emotion. Amen. But here in my notes, I want to ask you all something. How does love behave? That's my question for tonight. How does love behave? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're back live again. Amen.
Okay. I think I got cut off, but I give it back into your hands, and we pray one for another that we learn how to love.
Amen. Tell you what a wonderful word tonight. Something to challenge each and every one of us. We can never get enough of, you know, the teaching on love. Amen. We can never have enough of it. And as I was saying, how does love behave? How does love behave?
Yes.
It's something to think about. Does your behavior show love? Does your attitude show love? As the preacher said, it's in action, it's in attitude, it's in behavior. So as she said, she's challenging. Deeper in this love of Christ. See, because we can't say that we love each other and still have some reservations. Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to read this one scripture here, but as she was saying here, there is no fear in love.
Uh-huh.
But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, the airlines are tonight. Is there one tonight who wants to pray that the Lord can help them have a stronger love? Not only for someone in the home or the job or wherever, but a stronger love for Christ. Because when we are totally in love with Him, we'll be able to totally show His love for others. Amen.
Amen.
And someone's listening tonight saying, well, you don't understand. It's tough. Well, let me share this with you, my friend. I understand. It's tough. Sometimes we wonder, how can I love? Amen. How can I love someone when they're always saying something negative to me?
Yes.
Well, the only answer that I can give you is that the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. is only going to come through Christ. He's the only one. He's the creator of love. He is love. And he can help us have love for those who we think are unlovable. Amen. Those who we may think don't deserve our love. And as we heard tonight, love is not an emotion. Because emotions, they change. Amen. But love should be consistent. It should be consistent.
Yes.
Be consistent. So we're going to open up the airlines tonight for prayer. Maybe there's one with us. Tonight, you have the opportunity tonight to love, amen, because Christ is love. So we don't want to hold the time. We have a few minutes left. If you want to pray, if you want to have prayer, please just press one on the receiver, and we're going to pray that the Lord would help us have this perfect love. What a wonderful word tonight. Something to challenge our hearts, challenge our minds. Love chapter. It doesn't get any greater than that. It doesn't get any greater than that. Not at all. So is there one tonight who's listening who wants to pray? Pray for someone. God give you more of his love. But we know what we need tonight. We're not going to be in the time. Reverend Johnson.
You're cutting out. I can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Can you pray for us tonight? Can you close out?
Yes. I'll be delighted. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your compassion toward us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for being a forgiving God. We thank you for being a caring God. We thank you, oh God, for just being everything that you see we stand in need of. And we thank you for the words tonight, oh God, about what love is and what love is not. And Lord, we know that this is a big bill to fill. And we know that we can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. So we ask you tonight, oh God, that you would just overflow us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to love the unlovely. Lord, you said, love your enemies and do good to them that despitefully use you. You told us to love when the unlovely, oh God, and Jesus, when he walked the earth, he showed us what love really was. His love was an action word with him. Jesus showed us by his actions how to treat people. So I pray tonight, oh God, that you would help us, that we'd be able to do as Jesus did, to love those who are unlovely. And we thank you for your power and your grace. Thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to come before you and look for your strength. In Jesus' name,
I see something so unreal. I see my Savior nailed to the cross. He gives it all for me. Right here at Calvary, they pierce him in his pride. Blood was pouring in. there was sleeping.